Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome back to the EPL Roundtable. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries, and as always, if you'd like to reach us at the podcast, you can do so by either tweeting us at EPL Roundtable or emailing us at eplroundtable@gmail.com. All right, now another club update, this time Leicester with Jim Knight, who you can find on Twitter at JimKnight88. No tremendous big news today, but obviously a very busy offseason. You lose the likes of Conte, you bring in Mendy, you bring in Ahmed Musa, who I do rate quite highly. Why don't you just talk us through what the summer's been like as a Leicester fan, as you are currently reigning champions?
Yeah, it's still crazy to think about that term being used for us, actually. It kind of became slightly more real when we played Manchester United in the Community Shield on Sunday, lost 2-1, but I don't think in disgrace. I think there was plenty of opportunity for us to win that game. So some encouraging signs. The summer started pretty disappointingly when we lost N'Golo Kante to Chelsea relatively early on. Obviously, before that, we actually had a bid ongoing for Jamie Vardy from Arsenal, who met his supposed release clause, and he was offered a big contract down there and eventually turned it down and decided to stay at Leicester. So I think he has won over some fans who thought that all footballers were just out for the money. Obviously, he's on a much improved contract at Leicester City now. So the difference in, and it's nice to see players opt to stay where they will be first choice instead of potentially earning another £20,000 or £30,000 a week and not being first choice, especially at a club like Arsenal. It might be different had we not got Champions League, but you never know. We were pretty disappointed to lose Kante to Chelsea, mostly because they haven't got Champions League football or any football this season, but I guess he sees it as a better project in the medium term than Leicester, who are probably going to be one-hit wonders in the Champions League this year. Would have liked to have seen him offer us one more year and keep the team together and then go his own way and earn the money, because he's only in his, you know, early to mid-20s. He's very, very promising as a player. And I can totally appreciate why he cashed in. But I think that plenty of people would have wanted him to stay a bit longer. But that's football for you. These things happen. That we've been pretty impressed with some of the signings that we brought in. Very excited about Ahmed Musa and the prospect of him forming a partnership with Jamie Vardy. Last season that I didn't think that the striking options that we had were quite up to scratch. Bizarrely, as we were winning the league, but actually to compete on two or three or four fronts, if we want to go for the domestic cups as well, you have to have a deeper squad, let alone a better calibre of striker in the Champions League. So having Ahmed Musa, who's got experience at CSKA Moscow, has played against big teams like Manchester United in the last few years and has got experience on that European stage in a very, very kind of tough, harsh footballing environment as well, I think will stand us in good stead. Pretty excited about some of the other players that have come in, the likes of Nuno Hernandez, who's come in to offer some centre-back cover. I think we may well see him start on Saturday because of Robert Hoos' suspension from the end of the season. There's also a few other players like Mendy, who could be a potential replacement for N'Golo Kante, but I think he looks less like a holding midfield player and more just kind of like a general ball-playing midfielder. So he could well form a partnership with someone like Danny Drinkwater, again, in the centre of the park this year. And we've got a Polish guy as well that's come in called Kaput, who played for the under-21s last night, got a few minutes against Barcelona in the International Champions Cup and looks pretty promising as well. It's been a busy summer of mostly ins, not many outs. But we always knew that was going to be the case, really, because of the extra Champions League impetus and the need to kind of make sure the squad was significantly deep enough to deal with that.
Yeah, speaking of additions, you made a very big one last year in Gökhan Inler, who we thought was the heir apparent to Esteban Cambiaso, all of which are crazy things to say about Leicester, as you mentioned at the time, the fact that those guys were there. Now, already mentioning Drinkwater, now you have Mendy there as well. You are obviously in the Champions League. Do you think that the experience Inler has will play a role in him getting more minutes this season?
I think he's got an uphill battle ahead of him. I actually would be surprised if he stays at the club beyond this season and may even leave before that. I just think the problem is that he came in and he had fitness issues because he didn't have a full pre-season, at which point we'd already discovered quite what a gem we'd got in N'Golo Kanté, and he'd formed that partnership with Danny Drinkwater in the central midfield, and the two basically never got injured for the entire season. And when you're top of the league and winning games, it's very, very difficult for a player, even one of Gökhan Inler's stature, to force his way into the team. Granted, with the extra games this year, we might see a bit more of him, but I still think he's potentially fourth in the central midfield because of the fact that, you know, fan of Mendy before where he signed in for Leicester, so it's obviously been a long-term target for him. We've also got the likes of Matty James coming back, who played a big part in the Championship promotion season. He may well go out on loan this year because he spent all of last year injured. But again, he's was a very promising midfielder. It remains to be seen if he's quite as good as he was when he was part of that ever-present team that got the Championship and to some degree kept us in the Premier League as well. So it's going to be interesting to see where Gökhan Inler fits in the pecking order. He did again play for the 21 team last night, which would suggest that, you know, Ranieri's plans aren't necessarily for him to be in the first team. So it may well be a case for him of finding another club before the end of the summer transfer window.
Fair enough. Well, you will need to be doing some rotation with the Champions League coming. Do you think you'll do something more like what Arsenal do, where they basically keep five or six of their best players in and then you just kind of switch the rest? Or do you think you'll try to have more of two full 11s, or do you have the squad depth to even do that?
I don't think we have the squad depth to go two full 11s for the Champions League and the Premier League. I think the majority of the Premier League and Champions League games will be played with quite a similar team. And then it may just be a case of rotating based on fatigue and injuries. I think certainly when it comes to domestic cups, we'll take a similar approach to that which we did last year, seeing a lot of youth players and kind of first team players who are not getting regular runouts, so kind of first team squad players, if you like Inler, coming into the fray. It's difficult to know really because we haven't seen Leicester in the Champions League before, and you know, with it being such a one season wonder, I don't think there's as much emphasis on rotating to get the best out of the Premier League. So I think Claudio Ranieri may well see the Champions League as a bit of an adventure. I think he will probably say, look, our team are supremely fit, and last year we proved, you know, we're very resilient against injuries. There's some that you can't help, but the sports science department we've got behind us, I think he'll test that to its limits and try and put as good a team out of the Premier League and the Champions League competitions, and then we'll take it from there in terms of domestic cups and see how far we can go. But no one's got any ambitions. Well, we've got ambitions, of course, but no expectations of qualification for the Champions League next term. So it's a target this year. And he was asked that and he said 40 points again. So, you know, survival, maintaining the Premier League status. So unlike a lot of teams who feel that they fight almost to be in the Champions League because they've spent so much money, that kind of ilk, that top four, top six now, I suppose, if you include Liverpool and Spurs as well, we haven't got that kind of expectation. I don't think the fan base either. So it's going to be a bit of an adventure in the Champions League. We'll see who we get in the draw on the 25th of August and take it from there. But yeah, I certainly don't think there'll be too much to kind of playing Wednesday, Sunday or Tuesday, Saturday.
Yeah, you mentioned there's some of your targets, which 40 points does seem a touch low. But many people are already crowning other teams champions. I myself mentioned Man United in our last full show. Is there any sense of disrespect around the club that nobody's really considering you this season?
I don't think it's so much disrespect. I think a lot of people are still kind of riding high on the achievements of last year and the impossible dream. I just think a lot of people believe, and have seen what's happened in terms of the impossible dream, you know, with such huge kind of a surprise last year. Is the only way to describe it, a fairy tale, really. There aren't, you know, enough words to tell people that it couldn't happen again, because people will immediately come back at you with, well, we did it last year, why can't we do it again this year? I'm not quite of that opinion. I can totally see why people are invested in us potentially doing it again. And obviously that would be completely ridiculous given the amount of spending and managerial changes and the kind of blockbuster lineup that we've got in the Premier League this year. But I think a lot of people are very realistic about what Leicester can achieve this year. I have already gone on record this year of saying that kind of a top half finish would be acceptable, kind of maintaining that Premier League status, but without necessarily having problems with relegation. It'd be nice to not be looking over our shoulders. And if we do have an exceptionally good season and the players that we bring in are able to kind of plug those gaps, and if we're able to hold on to the likes of Mahrez and Vardy throughout the year, then who knows, we could kind of sneak another European place. But I don't think there's certainly any element of expectation within the fan base.
Fair enough. Also, I don't know why I didn't mention this earlier, so this is going to seemingly be an out-of-order question. Ahmed Musa, who we both mentioned at the top of the show, obviously from CSKA Moskva, played very well for them. Some people were doubting he'd be able to make the transition because Seydou Doumbia flopped so fantastically at Roma, and then maybe at Newcastle, we don't know, because he never really played. Where do you think he'll fit in to your squad? Do you think he'll play as a two up front with Vardy? Do you think he could just play out on the left? Where are you thinking that Ranieri's hoping to play him?
It's really difficult because I think the whole formation setup, it has been altered by Kante's departure. Actually had a free player in central midfield in the shape of Danny Drinkwater or Andy King, because of how effective N'Golo Kante was at breaking up attacks. You could trust him to sit in front of the back four and screen for potential dangers and win the ball back with such a kind of regularity. It was like a pendulum almost, you know. One team would get the ball, the opposition would break forward, and then Kante would have the ball back and Leicester would be on the break. And because of his haven't really got anyone that can sit that deep at the moment. I know Mendy might come in to do that, but at the moment we haven't kind of seen enough of him to understand quite how Ranieri sees that that formation working. I think that there's certainly a selection headache for Ranieri ahead of the game, because the game against Hull to kick the campaign off, certainly, because of the fact that Musa has been so impressive in the pre-season. Obviously, you can't read too much into pre-season. He is lightning fast. I think he's probably the only player in our team faster than Jamie Vardy. And raw pace worries defenders. Backs and fullbacks are going to be scared of him. So I personally am hoping for Mahrez and either one of Albrighton or Gray on the other wing, and then Musa and Vardy through the middle. But I have a sneaky suspicion that Ranieri may turn it into a 4-3-3 with Mahrez and Musa in the wide attacking roles, which obviously means someone like Albrighton would have to make way in midfield. And then Mahrez and Musa would be expected to kind of track back a little bit and turn it into a 4-5-1 if you're under pressure. He is a kind of lone frontman through the middle. And then obviously break forward into that 4-3-3 formation. The advantage of that being, of course, that it gives you an extra body in central midfield. So if we are worried about being defensively exposed, and let's be honest, Jesse Ling in the Community Shield on Sunday, where he just walked through three kind of lunging challenges, you can put that down to being not quite match fit, not sharp. But as far as I'm concerned, if N'Golo Kante was still with us, I know you can't change things like that, but if he was still with us, Lingard would have lost the ball before we realised that he had it. There might be a need to pack the midfield with an extra body in central midfield, and then try and exploit our pace on the counter-attack with three-pronged trident of Musa, Vardy and Mahrez.
All right, and with all that into account, you do open the season up against Hull. What do you think will happen in that match?
I was listening to a radio broadcast today where they were discussing the possibility of Hull not reaching Derby County's record of 11 points in the Premier League already this year. Obviously, the future does look bleak for them. A lack of manager, for a start. A lack of any transfer spending in the foreseeable future, because the owners won't sanction it while they're trying to sell the club, and the general kind of toxic atmosphere around the fan base and the first team squad being pretty much decimated by injury and sales. If you win, you're expected to win and no one really bats an eyelid. But if you don't come out of there with 3 points, then everyone, you know, is suddenly very down on you. So I think we just need to go there. We need to be professional. And it's one of the first, you know, and probably only times in the last 12 months, certainly, that we've been expected to win. I think we probably will win. I think we have too much for Hull, given that they are kind of very much down to the bare bones. But I wouldn't expect it to be a massively dominant performance, given that it has been a little bit rusty in terms of our performances so far this year. We've shown glimpses of what we could do. And obviously, if it does all click together, then something like the Sunderland result at the start of last year, where we kind of comprehensively beat them at home, could happen again. But I'd kind of settle for a narrow victory to kind of get the campaign up and running, maybe 2-0, something like that.
All right, any final thoughts?
No, just that, you know, I hope that we get some intriguing ties in the Champions League and we're able to enjoy those to the fullest of our ability, and that we give a good account of ourselves, because I think a lot of people, when it comes to the Champions League, are writing Leicester off already. Obviously, it helps that we're a top seed, in the sense that we're going to avoid the quote-unquote big good league winners and the as well in Real Madrid. So we'll have to see how we get on, but hopefully we're able to shock a few more people on the continent as we did domestically last year.
All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us. You have anything you'd like to plug?
Yeah, thanks for having me on again. Hopefully come on plenty of times throughout the season. You can find me on Twitter at JimKnight88, and been doing the last few weeks has been going towards a pre-season preview document produced by soccerway.com, which is one of the websites that the company that I work for own and run. So if you're interested in betting or just want to do some more pre-season reading, obviously, with just a few more days to go towards the campaign now, that's now available at soccerway.com. So if you want to head over there and see what we're all about and kind of read our opinion on how the season might pan out, then hopefully we might be able to point you in the direction of a good wager or two, or potentially just something you didn't know about the upcoming season.
All right. Well, it was very nice speaking with you. I'm sure we'll do so again soon. Best of luck this week.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.